I looked at that today. I'm like, I don't get it. This step doesn't make any sense.
July 31st, 2024, can we turn and face the flag, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, public comment period for comments about items on this agenda, but no discussion action or vote will be taken. You'd be afforded the opportunity to speak on the individual items at the time they're presented. If you wish to speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments limited to 3 minutes. Does anybody have any comments they want to make ahead of the meeting? No? Okay. Of minutes for June 26, 2024 for possible actions. I do not have anything. Did you know?
No.
Neither.
Yeah.
So I move to approve for the minutes.
Still got to do at the next meeting, May 29th, right?
Yeah.
May
29th. Okay, so you move to approve.
Yeah, and, I approve that.
Approve the draw and the Greg.
All in favor?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Stephanie. Okay, now approval of today's agenda. I do not have any issues with it.
I don't have any.
I don't either.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To approve the agenda for
this
evening.
Aye.
Aye. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Protocol.
All right, informational items. A report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District concerning the well levels and status of the Blue Diamond water system and other related concerns. I believe.
Hey there. Districts. The wells were read on July 23rd. The north well was measured at 11.07 feet below land surface. The south well was measured at 10.8 below land surface. That's just ever so slightly below where it was last month. I didn't do the math, so small. And it's still about a 6 foot difference from where we were last year. So that's all still good news. There haven't been any major leaks or breaks over the past month, which is also good. We would just want to remind everybody, we've been noticing a real heavy draw in the mornings on the water system, which is a good thing because it means everybody's watering in the morning as opposed to in the middle of the day. So that's smart. But just everybody check your watering clocks, make sure you're not overwatering or that there's not, an hour long program that you're on with your watering clock, just to make sure we can keep that possible. That's my report.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for Jody? Okay. Thank you. Do we have a fan running? I turned that one off. Can we turn
is that a fan or is that
me? Are you sure? Because I feel AC blowing out of that.
Okay.
Did someone kill that fan?
Jordan,
I don't think.
Ken, can you reach over there? It's right by you. Yes, our chair has asked to turn off the fan.
Oh, thank you.
For the record,
I do not concur.
I didn't move for that. I just took charge, but if it gets really hot, I'll tell by how much sweat develops on everybody. It's in my order. Okay, so a report from Metro regarding activity statistics during the past month. And other area policing concerns. So, Metro.
Right.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. I'm Officer Isbell, your friendly neighborhood police officer. Everybody calls me Izzy. There's nothing significant to report, no crazy upticks in any specific crimes in the area. We have been conducting more speed enforcement along 159, issued some significant speeding tickets. the 9th. Other than that, just we're getting kind of an uptick in rescues. We've been partnering a bit with Red Rock Search and Rescue, and they've been great to us, great partners, very willing volunteers, so we appreciate them. Nothing significant to report unless anybody has any questions or anybody wants to talk afterwards, I'll hang out.
But you're getting 2 more officers, right?
What's that?
You're getting 2 more officers.
We are, but we don't know when. But it is said that we are getting 2 more bodies to our squad, but we do not have any sort of hard date anymore. That's more of when they're going to start.
Are you catching any crotch rockets on 159?
Nope.
Really? Never?
I see them.
I hear them.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. I would love to catch them. I would love it. But
I'd like to throw down a nail strip.
And policy and liability. They don't like to stop for us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's just...
We'll light them up. We'll light them up all day. With our lights, but catching them is...
Okay, so you could, but you, I mean...
So,
it's
our we have a pursuit policy, and it really is to protect the general public. We don't engage in any sort of vehicle pursuits, because it's a felonious crime. That being said, because the risk is a lot more elevated when you're dealing with higher speeds, especially in a pursuit when somebody's desperate. The likelihood of somebody being involved in a critical crash or somebody sustaining significant injuries or an innocent bystander being hit over what? Over somebody speeding?
Speeding.
Well, and they're basically going to kill themselves. It's not like they're speeding in a F-350 or something.
Right. So in town... Sometimes we really do get lucky because the helicopter just happens to be in the right area and they follow them home and it's nice.
Oh, okay.
Because we do have tactics that that we use to catch people, but it's not like you see in the movies where, or you know, on the evening news in other states where, hey, they get to, you know, go in and out everywhere they want to and catch these people because they ran a stop sign. We use different kinds of tactics. Sometimes it works and it's awesome, but 159, we're most likely not going to engage in a pursuit just because they're speeding.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So do you have what's the speed that it takes to be considered a violent felony?
What's the speed?
Yeah, you're saying that there's certain
that it's not going to fall in within the elements of a felony. Just speed alone is not there's nothing that would make that a felony.
I thought that was what you just said.
No, if they're getting away, they're leaving a felony, right? If
what's that?
If they're
robbing a bank and
away,
that's a felony. Speeding is a felony.
If somebody just shot somebody, they're in this vehicle, hey, I'm in that vehicle, they're not stopping for me, giddy up, I'm gonna engage this person in pursuit. If it's like, hey, this guy just walked out of the store and they'll hang a candy bar, we're not going to pursue that.
So do you ever catch the rental exotic cars out here speeding?
Yes.
So those guys don't get away?
We can catch them.
Great. Questions for Officer Izzy? Report from BLM regarding current and upcoming projects, updates on the Legacy Bike Trail, information about the Red Rock National Conservation Area, and other updates about public lands in the area.
Yes. Wes Buck, the A manager for Red Rock. I just wanted to let you guys know on August 12th at 1 a.m. over at the Light Late Night Trailhead, we'll have a meteor shower watch party with interpretation. So if anybody wants to come, bring chairs and a banquet. And also...
Is that the Perseid?
1 a.m. It's for what now? From 1 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Is that the Perseid that's coming up?
That was August 12th.
The Perseid shower, is that the one that...
It's a meteor shower.
It doesn't say the name of the shower.
Maybe another shower.
the name of the shower.
If you go though, that's you know.
And then I'm gonna go, Dwight.
It might be worth. So then in August, every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. and 8 a.m., we have morning times with interpretation, different topics we talked about. You will need to sign up on our website though. We don't have any updates on the Legacy Trail right now. Also, one thing that's somewhat relevant to Red Rock, within the next couple of weeks, we are signing the Madre Foothills Recreation Area Management Plan, become official with designating trails. And then just for Calico Basin, we are working on getting an automatic gate at Red Springs. That's it for this section. Yes.
Meteor shower, is that 1 a.m.? I know you said 1 a.m. Is that on the 12th or is that on the 13th? I just want to make sure because sometimes people won't.
I understand it's the 12th.
It is the 12th, so it'll be, okay, so.
So get away late on the 11th.
Getting up late on the 11th. Well, it'll be in the.
That's a good point. I mean, what a disappointment to get out there and you're like. Dang it! You gotta come out here again?
Peanut gallery.
Wait, wait, where the peanut gallery? wait a second.
Yeah, I printed the flyers, which I left on my desk. I might bring them tomorrow. I'll drop them off in the library.
Where was it at?
The
Late Night Trail.
You make a right on the 160 and up a ways on your right.
You have those gates and metal.
And it has a big sign that says late night.
But I'll drop off the flyers as well.
Here.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I think it should be pointed out though that likely the shower will be available from any place without a lot of urban lighting. You know, if you really go in there for the either the crowds or the interpretive.
You can only see them there.
Yes. They have an exclusive contract with that shower.
For anybody that's interested, to say that I have gone to the desert when I lived in, I would go to the desert for some of these supposedly big showers, and you think you're going to see like big cascading star things. I've never seen that. What you see is, oh, there's one, and there's one, and somebody else goes unconfirmed, and then you look, there's one. I need it.
You're just walking point. All over him.
I'm trying to set people's real expectations.
Here's the fan. Bro, turn it.
Question.
Yeah. Can you describe the aid agreement, the services and the agents that you involved? Is it automatic aid agreement?
No.
No, automatic gate.
Gate. Oh.
Right, so because it's only the Red Spring is only day use area, and right now we have a manual gate which is challenging to operate, so we're working on getting an automatic one.
Okay.
When you say automatic, it'll be timed?
Timed. But with the option, if somebody's trapped in there, you know, it opens up before somebody needs to leave. But not enter.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds expensive.
This may not be your area of expertise. I'm not sure. But when there's the big fires, like in Colorado, California, and everything, and there's nothing going on around here, does Nevada send a lot of firefighters to those places?
Yes, we do.
And if anything were to happen here, then they'd have to come back here too.
Yes. You said there's special management teams. They're about nationwide. They're about 15 management teams that get sent out, and right now they're like 30 some teams out. So
wow,
it's crazy.
Yeah, like during Carpenter One, they all come here.
Yeah. Any other questions for the other one? No.
We have Mr. Boyle here.
Yeah, he's next.
Oh, sorry.
He has his own. I know.
For now, in accordance with Katrina's more notice on this. We were receiving a report from BLM law enforcement about recent events in the area and public lands policing concerns.
Well, hello, everybody. James Boyle with the Bureau of Land Management Law Enforcement. I also don't have a whole lot to share. I could echo every single thing Officer Izzy said. We've seen a recent uptick in a few search and rescues. My uneducated experience would say it's because it got just a little bit cooler. People decided it's safe to come back out, you know, early July. It was so hot, nobody, even the foolish people, knew better than to come out and hike. But we've had just a few of those where typically heat is causing people to require assistance. And so I think the last one we had involved Clark County Fire Department, Metro, BLM, and even a helicopter to get some folks out who decided to overextend their capabilities. So if you're going to go hiking, it's still the desert, still the middle of hot summer, please choose wisely in your decisions on that and bring plenty of water. Other than that, we are also, our law enforcement staff is kind of minimal here in the Southern Nevada District at the moment. We have a substantial number of personnel out on assignments of supporting the national wildland fire emergencies as well. Those things get so big, they bring in law enforcement to provide security at the big federal fire camps and things like that. So you may not be seeing as many of us right now because a portion of our staff is out on that. And yes, we've also been dealing with a lot of speeding right now. That's typical in the summer, in the fall, and in the spring. It's too busy out here for the average speeder, right? There's so much traffic on the road. They could speed a little bit, but they can't get up to the, like, I stopped a guy right in front of your community on Monday, 93 miles an hour. So we have the same pursuit, almost identical pursuit policy to Las Vegas Metro Police. So BLM law enforcement locally does not pursue for speeding alone. It needs to be a violent crime with a risk of danger to the public. So if they do turn their, if we turn our lights on and get behind them and they stop, we will address it. If they choose to flee, it's the same risk versus reward scenario that plays out as to if it's a safe thing for us to be doing. But yeah, when there's not as many people out on 159, it becomes a raceway. And I do work at night, and when I'm at my office, I do hear the same engines you're probably hearing scream through here. So it's, I don't know how to solve that other than maybe some engineering ideas with NTRA.
Those roundabouts will slow them down.
Yeah, the roundabouts will. Yeah. Okay, I'm now in favor.
Other than that, I don't have any other pertinent information to share, but we'll be around if you have any questions afterwards.
Any further questions?
Can I just say one thing about the fire response? I know that you guys seem interested in it. Over the weekend, California put out a request for 375 wildland fire engines to respond in California to their fires. So is it a normal part of the operating plan nationally to send fire trucks from areas that aren't as busy to the busiest areas to manage fires? So don't think that's abnormal to see people coming and going off the districts here. That's just a normal part of how.
Thank you.
I'll just tack one more thing onto that. We do maintain, our fire program does maintain minimum staffing. They have a threshold. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but there's not going to be a time where all of our engines are off district. So they do always maintain a response staff based off of what the conditions are in this area.
Thank you. Anybody else on that? All right. And now, Megan, would you like to turn the fans on for your...
I'm okay. I feel it.
Oh, okay.
I just have one thing. I don't know if everybody knew, but we have five phases of Legacy Trail, and due to many factors, there was a gap. There was the big gap between phase four, which ends right here at Castalia, and the Blue Diamond Wash just past Certainty. There was a 1.71 mile gap there. And Our federal people do this all the time. This was a big thing for me. I did a grant application for Federal Lands Access Program grant for $15,650,000 for that gap. So now we wait to see if it's going to get approved. So.
How come it didn't get approved with SNP LMA when the rest of it did?
Because SNP LMA did three parts. FLAP did the first and second, and they're just due to the different agencies and different plans, that just that little gap was left unfunded. The plan is there, it was left unfunded. And it's a big one because it'll have the underpass under 159 to get safely from the east side of 159 to the west side. So
thanks for your support.
What happened to the RV park?
That was an internal problem with planning. For once, it was not my fault. It was planning's fault. It was just with the holds and everything, it just got...
So it should be next month?
It'll be next month, yeah. Next month. Okay. Yeah, and it's nobody, nothing nefarious. It's just, it was just a typo internal thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, no big deal.
Okay, so we'll move on to planning and zoning. And I'm kind of wondering if I should have combined these items.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so we're going to combine the first and second items. The first one is ET-24-400006. C-22-0508, Red Rock Memorial Park LLC, holdover use permits, first extension of time for the following. One, the cemetery, and two, the design of the funeral home. And then design review for the cemetery and funeral home was on 90.72 acres in an RS-80 zone within the Red Rock Overlay District, generally located on the north side of State Highway 159, approximately 1.5 west of the intersection of State Highway 160, Blue Diamond Road, and State Highway 159 within Red Rock. Civil action. And then the second item that we're combining together is ET-24-400063, WS-24-0019, Red Rock Memorial Park LLC, holdover waiver of development standards, first extension of time for access gate setback. Design reviews for the following. One, alternative landscape plan. Two, eliminate off-site pedestrian connection at SR 159. Three, modifications to a previously approved cemetery or lighting plan on 90.72 acres in an RS-80 zone within the Red Rock Overlay District.
You can probably stop there.
Okay, so someone to present here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it just an extension of time?
Yes.
There's two extensions of the time for the permit and the waivers.
Okay.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Austin Chan. Address 6030 Jones Boulevard. We're just asking our first extension of time for those two cases. We're facing some infrastructure issues, so we're trying to solve the issue. Therefore, we need to have more time. Happy to answer any questions.
Hi.
Anybody have any?
It's an extension of time. Hi.
No. Hey, they can.
That was a good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions? I'm
second.
Absolutely. You in second? We haven't seconded.
I don't care.
Oh my God! You don't need to second.
I did.
All in favor.
Aye.
Approve.
Sure. Aye.
So,
thank you.
General business. Receive a presentation from Clark County Regional Flood Control District regarding the 2024 Master Plan Update for Clark County Outlying Areas, Blue Diamond, for possible action.
We have it here too, so you can kind of point it out.
Can you just expand it?
We have it.
So yeah, we have handouts for people that follow. I'm Andrew Trelease. I'm with Clark County Regional Control District. and I'm here to present the 2024 flood control master plan of the for the Clark County outlying areas, including the town of Blue Diamond. Thank you all for having me here today. A little bit quickly about the Regional Flood Control District. We're a planning and funding organization, so we're not actually Clark County Public Works or even part of Clark County. We're a special district. We have our own board of directors made up of elected officials around of the various entities in Clark County. We are funded by a quarter of 1% sales tax, which right now is around $160 million a year. And our general manager is Stephen Parrish. Look through this thing. So every 5 years, we're required by NRS to update our master plans. The last master plan for the outlying areas was done in 2019. There are 9 outlying areas in Clark County that we have put into our master plan, which includes Town of Blue Diamond, Coyote Springs, Good Springs, Indian Springs, Gene, Laughlin, Mount Charleston, Nelson, and Search Test. The purpose of our master plan is to add new information, assess the progress, and then recommend changes. So what goes into a master plan update? Essentially what we do is what we started at the beginning of this year with data collection. That means we look at all the drainage studies and things that have occurred in the last 5 years. We look at the land use and zoning, we see if anything's changed. And then we use that information to do new hydrologic models, which basically means we have a design rainstorm that we have, and then we say, well, how much is it going to rain in that storm? And then how much of that becomes runoff? And then once we have how much stormwater we expect, we design our flood control facilities to handle that amount of water in a design storm. And once we have those facilities on a planning level design, then we do an estimated cost. If we were to go build that facility today, how much would that cost? And we use that for our planning purposes. And once we do all that, we put that into a report. And then that report comes to committees like you guys, and then ultimately it'll go to our advisory committees, and then to our board, and we kind of commission this for adoption. We expect that to happen in September. So as you can see from the board there, right now that's the town of Blue Diamond and Blue Diamond Wash to the north there. We have two facilities. We have an existing facility, that's the existing bridge at Castalia Street. Mm-hmm. And Castalia Street, and then so that's an existing regional bridge, regional facility. So it's also eligible for maintenance from the Regional Flood Control District. We're responsible for funding design, construction and maintenance of anything that's on our plan. And then so we also have a future expansion of that bridge plan, because right now our model shows that it's undersized for the 100-year event, shifting into a lot of the flows, a lot of the storms, but in a 100-year event that could over top. And then downstream sort of we have a levee that's on the plan that's proposed that's kind of protects sort of the south side or the north side of the town there, just right adjacent to the Blue Diamond Wash there. And that would be a riprap levee, and riprap is just rock. So it basically is a berm and then with rock lining on it to protect from the erosion. And that's neither of those facilities, the extension of the bridge or that levee, is on the 10-year plan for construction. The Clark County Public Works Department will prioritize the projects, and they'll actually, once they're on our plan, then they decide where and when to spend that money, how to spend that money. So this would be a project that would be competing with other projects in Clark County. But right now we expect that those facilities, right now we in our cost tool, which is our estimate of what the value of the facilities are, the bridge is right now estimated to have a value of about $900,000, and then the cost of the expansion of the bridge and then the levy would be around $2 million. That, and this plan is like pretty much exactly the same as it was in 2019, I will say that, but the expansion of the bridge and the levy were both on that side last time we were here. And so we actually have the action that we're asking for is that this committee vote that our board adopt the master plan update for the town of Blue Diamond. And then so we can go to them and say that you guys supported this plan.
Here's a question.
And is there any questions? Well, I guess I could ask the committee, is it okay if I...
Yeah.
So...
Is there in the...
Now, I think there's five of them that have submitted engineering to the county and gotten themselves out of it.
Okay.
So how, I mean, that seems like a really bad thing. Like, if you pay enough money, you can be out of the floodplain, but if you don't pay the money, you're in the floodplain, but yet the data is the same for them all. So if you can present data and be engineered out of the floodplain, why wouldn't they just determine that all the houses should, aren't really in the floodplain?
Well, there's a couple things there. So what, when, and that's the FEMA, the federal government, actually determines the flood zones, and they have, you know, flood insurance through them. So to get removed from the flood zone, you physically have to show that your structure is above the water surface elevation in that 100-year storm event. So they would have to prove to FEMA, they have to submit a model that shows, okay, water surface will be here, my structure is 18 inches above that, so they can remove. Now, it might be flooding all around, maybe my house is just elevated higher, and then the water might flow all around the house, but the structure is fine. So they can just remove just the structure. Another way to remove it, if you built a big levee like we're doing, we would show the flood zone now on the other side of that levee, and all the houses would be removed. So there's not, it's not easy to get removed in the way you just said, where you just pay money. And sometimes you pay money and you can never prove to FEMA that you're out and that you still are in. So you have to be able to show that physically your structure, when I say structure, it doesn't have to be your residence, it can be anything that's insurable, that is above that water surface. And if it is, then FEMA says, okay, we can remove it. Then you're really, we would recommend you still buy flood insurance for you, because you're probably in jeopardy, but your rates would be less.
And then the levy, I noticed, is on private properties. How do you manage that?
Yeah, that's, you know, we were talking about that before. You know, like, obviously, like, the more we push the levy out into the wash, the more we're kind of stripping it. This is a very level document, so we're kind of like, we need flood protection along the edge. We don't really know what that would look like until we get in the final. So, but if that would happen, if we said, hey, this is a good plan, and we've been in the community and supportive of it, I would hope that the people that lived in those houses would also be supportive of that, because they're like, okay, I want to be protected. And then we would have to work with them and say, either acquire that land, or maybe we could, I think both, all the land is private, so whose land it's on. This is just kind of the line on the map right now. It doesn't have to be right here. It would be what's the best engineering wise, and what's the best, if you know, people are more accommodating than others, then they would put it on there. You can see right now it kind of like juts out into the wash, and that's just because there was kind of private property there, and we thought that would be a good place. And once we got an engineer on board, once the county says, hey, I want to go forward with this project, we'd hire an engineer, and they would start doing that outreach and start giving, you know, trying to acquire the right of way and things like that. So there'd be a lot of things to, hoops to jump through before we could actually construct this facility. And as I mentioned, it's not right now on our team. But those are all great questions, for sure, things that we have to deal with.
Got one more question.
Sure.
On the assumption, what's the height of the berm?
That right now, it's about 8.5 feet high, is what the, and that could vary, because, I mean, it's where it is right now, and I was just looking at the topography earlier, you know, online, and kind of go by there, and I could see here, it's, it would vary. It might be less than that in some places and higher than other places. So we'd have to do like the real engineering on it. But with a levee, we always build it a lot higher than we think it really should be, because we don't want it to overtop and then fail and then have people behind it get damaged. So it is, levees are built to a lot higher standard than like a channel would be, because a channel, it would fill up and then maybe spill out a little bit, but there'd still be a lot of water in it. But a levee, if it fails, then the water just all goes down. So we make sure that when we build a levee, that it has to be like at least 3 feet higher than what we think the water would ever be at.
I know we talked, I don't know if it was with you, but on some mitigation projects with like damming and diverting water, different things that, yeah, some emergency management could engage in to minimize risk to communities.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I could go back as a recommendation is to have so many sandbags here available to the community, you know, in case there was a flood, that we could act immediately since it's not in the immediate funding plan. So if you have similar flood zones across other rural areas, would you send that information to me? That's similar to this, where it shows that there is some risk to this community, and that we can kind of plan to have an emergency action that we could do.
Yeah, sure. We certainly have information on what we would expect that water surface elevation to be, and really, it's a great idea to have a plan in place so you know. And maybe the right answer would be just protect the beach structure, or maybe one levee all along there. And there's different products out there where they have these big sort of inflatable things where you fill them with water, and those work pretty good too. So I mean, there's lots of options there. Yeah. So those can work in an emergency situation. So I think that's good for the community to start thinking about that in the meantime before we can get these facilities in place.
So we get flooded out down here on Arroyo and on the other side all the time, like 2-3 times a year. Anytime it rains, we get flooded out there. How's the levee going to affect that? I see you're working on the bridge that's already existing.
So is it
where we don't get flooded out?
So are you? So you're talking about
right down here.
Somewhere.
It's right here.
So
So that was kind of going to be my next question.
Yeah.
If you're doing an update to your master flood plan here, like why are we not considering taking this levee and resolving the huge issue we have here? Because every time we do have a storm, we end up having to have Public Works come out and clear the road, and we get 100-pound boulders out there.
It can be impassive.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times that you can't use it for a couple of days until we get Public Works out to clear it out. So if we're doing an update to this, it would just seem this might be the time to even consider extending or mitigating the actual issue we have here as well, other than, I know you're solving the problem of trying to get these houses out of the floodplain, but again, this is, our ingress egress too, so.
Yeah, I understand that. We did bring this up with Public Works. The Public Works Director, Dennis Cederberg, we asked him if he was interested in putting that facility. Generally, in the flood control district, we're trying to protect, the houses and the structures, mm-hmm. and then the roadways are usually, the bridge is really, the one at Castilla, that's mm-hmm. something we don't usually do, because it's
right.
roadway. We say, PennDOT can do that, the county can do that, someone else can do that. Because it's just a bridge, it's infrastructure. But in this case, it was your access. In our minds, we will have provided one access in where you are not going to be trapped in here. You can get into your subdivision. The other one is a nuisance for Public Works to clean up every time. But it's not a life and safety issue because it's just a nuisance.
Okay.
Because if you need to get out, you can go out the way with the bridge is. So I think that's Dennis's kind of feeling and his thought process of not wanting to put a bridge or anything road.
Okay. That's kind of all the only question I have.
A levee has the potential for to be breached basically, and so lets it all go, and so therefore it's built to a higher potential flood level than a channel would be. But why not choose a channel with a lesser chance of disaster?
When we go to design, I'm gonna see wherever we can just put sort of line the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the better option.
Line the bank would be like a faux channel in a sense.
Would be right now there's sort of a wash bank there that's probably unlined, maybe it's some vegetation.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put the lining there.
Yeah.
But the problem is some of these areas are lower than so we'd have to either buy the houses and fill the dirt up. Or if that's an option, if people are willing sellers, then we could say hey, we can do that. But that's expensive also to really figure out once you buy the house, why protect it? There's nothing there to protect anymore. So
mm-hmm.
so what we probably do, the only other option is because they're already sort of low down in the wash, is sort of build that levee so that the water on the other side of the levee is higher than the house, right? That's scary. But that's sort of the only option if people want to still live in their house, and most times they do.
New Orleans.
So is
exactly right.
I guess the other question, if and when this goes in, will FEMA redo the floodplain map and remove them from the flood zone?
We would design it to their standards
okay.
and make sure that
okay.
they were removed from the flood zone.
Okay.
And we would actually go to them with our design and say, if we build this, will you remove it?
Yeah.
So we know, and
okay.
then that's called a conditional letter
right.
of that provision, and then so once we got that approved, then we go build it, and then they would remove it, and we prove that we build it the way we said we would.
Perfect.
Do you have any data of when the last time there was a flood in this area, whether these houses were affected? Because these houses have been here since the 40s.
I did not get that data.
I haven't seen like a big, I mean, we've seen some pretty decent flows in Russia, but I don't know.
The area we're talking about gets flooded 3 or 4 times a year, where it is impassable. But I'm just saying, I'm wondering when these houses are affected. I mean, a lot of
times. I don't know, like, a big,
right.
Somewhere between. We know it's a big watershed, but you can see Mother Nature's work, so water has flown down this channel. In the path, and nothing really has changed upstream, so it has been intentionally. And I don't have that.
What are we talking about? 100
years?
100
years. Yeah, we use what's called the 100-year storm, and it's very complicated. It's not really what it's like. It basically, if you were to take, thousands of years of data, you would say, like, well, this was sort of the worst storm every 100-year period. But it's just statistics. We would say it's a 1% chance of happening in any given year. So you could have a really bad storm, what we call a 100-year storm, today, and then next week we could have another 100-year storm, and people go, well, that's not impossible. Like, it's not 20 in a week, But it can happen. It can happen the next day. It can happen. It's just one of those
based
things.
On the geological record.
Well, it's actually based on meteorological data, the National Weather Service, and we collect data for what we think is the, over the last, we don't have that much record, especially here in Southern Nevada, because there hasn't been people here for a long time, but we do have decent data for what we think the 100-year storm would be, and we have over 200 water rainfall gauges around Clark County. And that data is getting pretty old, so which is good because it can tell us like how close we are on our design storm. Mm. And we looked at it just recently. We hired a consultant to look at it, and we think we're probably pretty conservative on what we think our design storm is based on history and based on what the National Weather Service thinks. So we're pretty confident in our 100-year storm, or we actually think it might be a little bit conservative, and that's where we'd rather be than on the other side.
Does the does the dynamics of the wash change downstream with a levee?
Yes.
So
and that would be another challenge. We wouldn't want to be like, okay, now we put this levee in, now the road washed out.
It
essentially is going to condense it, and it's going to it is going to make
it is going to make
the path
like,
in Arroyo.
I was going
to
say, Arroyo would be a wipe out.
And Arroyo is going to, it's just going to increase the flow there, and it's going to be even deeper than it is now once the levee goes in.
So
that was kind of my concern.
So we would definitely. Drainage engineers have it. Whenever we do a project, we say, like, here's what's happening today. My project can't make that worse. So we would look at that road and go, okay, well, whatever I do, I can make it the same as it was or better, but I won't make it worse. So that will be something that the engineer will have to do when they build this levee. They have to prove somehow. And it might mean some improvements on the road to protect it.
Because,
yeah,
it could
mean
an extension of the levee, too.
Clearing debris that's going to be on Arroyo.
Yeah.
So on the 100-year, isn't it true that climate change is kind of messing that model up as far as the 100-year model?
I think you're smart. So yeah, that's a great question. So we have looked at that. We actually hired a university of Iowa to look at climate change. And we're an inland state, so we kind of thought, climate change is really more for the coastal states, and it is a bigger deal there, but our rainfall events are different. It seems to get hotter every year, and and those models are like, it's hard to predict the weather in 2 weeks, and they're trying to predict it out 50 years. So it is hard. There's many different types of models, but I had the guy try to explain it to me as if I was in fourth grade, like his results with this climatology study. He basically said that the most likely scenario is that we'll have more extreme events in the future, which means more extreme drought. And probably less rain, but when we do have rain, it'll be more intense rain. Mm-hmm. So given that possibility, that conservative nature of the rainfall that we're using now, we think is will accommodate a future of possibly higher intensity rainfall. So we think we're okay even on the climate change. So and we're you know we're constantly looking at that and we'll keep doing these studies as we you know as time goes on and we get more data. More data is really the big thing for that kind of analysis.
Okay, so given the so basically in a nutshell, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. But we're looking at the plan, and the plan is that there's going to be a levee, that there's going to be improvements to the existing bridge. So at least in an emergency, we have ingress egress, and that Arroyo is basically a maintenance issue or a cleanup issue or a public works issue. So that's basically it. And then if it gets approved or funded or whatever, then you're going to be looking at very specifically, like how long is this levee? Where is it exactly going to be located and all of that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a,
that's where the real work starts is when they.
So this representation of this is, it's not really the actual positioning of it and length of it?
It may not be. It could be exactly right, or it could be like, well, we shortened it or had to lengthen it a little bit. We have within our, you know, we're planning and funding, so we have the ability to say, you know, we really need a quarter mile longer levee. We can fund that even if it doesn't show it that length on the plan. Just because we, you know, or we can change the plan. That's the other thing that's great about the district. Like at any time, we do these updates every 5 years, but at any time, next month, you guys can say like, hey, go to Public Works and they can sponsor a change to the plan to add a facility, remove a facility, shorten a facility, all that sort of thing. So
when you say you guys, the residents of Blue Diamond?
Yeah, it would come from Public Works, but you'd have to convince Public Works Department to sponsor something and then they would put an item on our agenda and then you could adjust the plan at any time. Or I mean, any you know, it really has to come from Public Works, but anyone can influence Public Works decisions to do that. And certainly, with Dennis to Cedarburg would listen to the community that is, and listen to your concerns. And so, and we as we do. So, like right now, that's why we're here. We're asking the questions that what do you guys want and need. And we have certain restrictions on what we can fund and where we can fund it. We have we don't fund every storm drain and curb and gutter, and you know it has to meet a certain threshold for us to get involved in the funding. But which is why there's like no facilities in town, because your watershed south of town really isn't that big. I'm sure it's steep and you get a lot of probably high velocity water coming off the mountain.
Yeah.
But as far as the volume of water, it doesn't meet our criteria for a regional facility.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This may be a little over the top, but since we're only talking about five properties, if the property owners were interested in a solution like that, would it be possible to raise up the houses?
Yeah, that's done in other communities around the United States, especially. I mean, really the best way to do it is to go and do a sort of an assessment and go, what's the cheapest? You know, is a $2 million levy the solution, or is it, well, for $2 million, I can raise up all those houses, or I can buy all those houses in some cases, you know, and you can say, like, I'll relocate those families. That's not a really popular way to do it, but in some communities, it's the best way, because you get people that keep getting flooded over and over again, and then instead of spending millions of dollars, maybe you can do it cheaper. So yeah, we're definitely in support of any solutions that will be better than not necessarily building a hardened flood control facility. That you know, FEMA does that a lot. That they do a lot of programs like that in Clark County, because we're well funded. We typically solve it with hardened engineering facilities with like a levee. So, but it's not the only option.
When you go in at the point that this does go into the design phase, is that something, Megan? That we would this even come to us at that point?
Well,
I wouldn't. I mean, I could see it maybe if one of these property owners tried to do something and you guys are like, hey, I need an easement because this is what we're proposing. But
so in that case, that would the Public Works manage that project, and we would have an engineer like Abby Moran here is like she's our representative for the county projects, and so she would be on the job for the district.
Mm-hmm.
But the sort of the running of the project and the engineer would be responsible for reaching out to the community. In my opinion, yes, that would be something they should do.
Okay. All right.
If this is Katrina, field manager, Red Rock Sun Field Office here, if it's on lands managed by the BLM too. If there's a right of way for this, then we would be involved in processing that too. And sometimes we notify the other folks about this project that's coming.
Yeah, there is a little sliver of it that might fall in yours, but I think that, yeah, the way this is proposed, it's like they kind of stopped right where your guys' property starts. But.
I didn't notice that it didn't go any further.
But. Yeah.
But we, yeah, we work with the BLM.
Yeah.
And that's certainly a partnership that we have. You know, and we obviously live in government, so we go through all the proper environmental and you know, right away, all that sort of thing. We'll do all that in New Jersey. We actually do that before we'll go to funding, because sometimes environmental permitting or right away acquisition can take a long time. And we want to hold our money up. We do those things. We make sure that's all done and then do the construction.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you.
They're asking for, you're asking for both, right?
Well, actually, I just had one question. Is there any of the five property owners here? Are you one of them?
No, I think there's actually nine properties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are, yeah.
Okay. So nobody's left. It was on the agenda, and the information
was sent out with the agenda.
And they, I'm sure they're very aware as a homeowner, they're in the floodplain because they have, they're in that flood zone.
So they
because
were this meeting.
Well, I don't think they would. They wouldn't have notified him directly, no, but are the meetings public? But.
Well, it's the same as the 2019.
Yeah, this plan hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And really, like, once we go to design, which we'll probably be back here in 5 years.
I'm just afraid this might open up some kind of Pandora's box where, like, oh, this isn't going the way we planned. Now we're going to push out my neighbors. That's my fear, to be honest. Like, if it's not, if your engineering and your proposed levy isn't going according to plan, then you end up coming through and trying to buy out my neighbors. I don't know. I just said, I'm.
Yeah, none of that's going to happen anytime soon, but I mean.
If it anytime soon, but this doesn't. Without
I think
fear it, to understand it.
Yeah.
I just.
That's a pretty extreme case when they go into that and actually force probate on properties. No, it can happen, and it has in certain areas, but I don't know that any of those, you probably would know, Pauline, I don't know that any of those homes have ever had any flooding issues.
Well, like,
Okay, well, that's good.
Well, he's right on the wash.
Yeah, he's this one right here. Because sometimes when FEMA does these, like they don't go in and get everybody's pad elevation to be like, you really shouldn't be in here. So when you get a civil engineer to do an elevation cert, then you can prove to them that you shouldn't be in there, and they can remove the requirement. But it's like they haven't gone in and readjusted the whole floodplain, the map itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that
you can't see it on this map, but if you look at our website, it'll show what it is. FEMA has given it a removal from the SFHA.
Well, I mean, and that is kind of curious, though, because, I mean, their 1941 houses are sitting flat on the ground. There's nothing special about how elevated they are. So it does make you feel like if they can provide engineering that supports for that low house, that it's not in the floodplain, and it's below some other houses who are still in the floodplain.
I've heard of anywhere near that wash.
Yeah, because I was going to
think station can grow up in the
what is that? And it can
all
be.
Of the just even water in your house can be, you know,
devastating.
Say this water, mold, drywall, everything's gone.
I don't think we're talking about the entrance. We're talking about you building the levee and then that engineer going through their
property. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, I'm just talking about the other thing.
We understand homeowners insurance quite well, I'm sure.
And the plan is, the way they've showed this on the plan, it wouldn't be through any of the homeowners' properties. It would be in the private property, which is a, this is like, I don't know if you can see this, so is it lit up? So the levee would be, there's a piece here, and then there's this giant piece here, and then this is all BLM. So they're proposing at the point they would do this, that this levee be in these private properties. So it wouldn't be in the existing, it wouldn't affect. Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
He's saying in this case, since here is the county being very nonchalant with their approach to this, and like, oh, worst case scenario, we go in there, we take out 5,000.
We've never been.
Yes.
Never had a big budget.
I was going to say that.
Right.
Yeah.
$3 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. Like looking at those costs, I'm like, you can't even put in a kid's park for $2 million anymore.
Well, with this whole speculative nature of the proposal of what the levy solution, etc., what does what does a vote of approval from us really mean? Considering you're saying the whole thing is subject to tons of changes, basically.
Well, it's just our plan right now. It just sort of like keeps you on the radar for getting our money for funding. So like, and then, you know, once we have a solution, if it's an engineering solution, we can then maintain that as well. So it's a benefit to the community of, you know, if it's very unlikely the county would ever do anything if our money wasn't available. So having this on your plan gives you options to spend our money in some way. And so I would say that it's in your best interest to keep it on the plan and then work out the specific solutions later. And so because we know that right now there are, you know, several houses that are right there in harm's way. And so, you know, if we do have some big storms and some big flooding there, this project may become a higher priority, you know, than it is.
In other words, if the barn is left unlocked, it's sooner than later, then suddenly we'll be trying to get the horse back in.
Yeah, so if we don't have facilities out here and you get flooded and you say, like, oh, let's go get some money, and then we say, well, you guys chafed away the funding sources.
So for the Blue Diamond residents in the room, do we have, like, your immediate feedback on this plan, on specific?
Funding.
Right. I would agree too.
Okay.
One quick thing.
Sure.
You mentioned looking at like numbers of the past, like rave law and stuff. Do you look at things that could happen in the future? And for example, I will say, I doubt that they would do this, but the old Bonnie Springs, they're putting in a lot more houses, so that means more. Probably asphalt, concrete, whatever. And then I will mention a project up on the hill. And if the water comes down and it goes into wash, that could possibly be more water. And do you look at possible, and these are all things that have been approved at this point in time. It's not just speculation. Do you look at stuff like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's a great question. So when we do our plan, when we get our plant, when we do our watershed analysis, we assume everything upstream is developed, completely developed. And that's based on the information we get from the county. So if the county says it's going to be desert forever, then we say, okay, it's desert forever. If the county says there's going to be a community here, then we say, okay, well, let's assume that community is already built and that runoff that we calculate is based on that and not the existing condition. So all of our models for all of our county, Las Vegas Valley, everywhere is all assumed on a future condition. That should be the worst case flooding condition. So if the plan changes and more more things get added into the like zoning or planning, then next 5 years we'll look at that and then
okay.
redo our models and then assume that one each time. So that's why we do it every 5 years to make sure that we keep us on top of things like that. So that's the first thing we did when we started this plan was get that new information so that we could update our models.
And probably good thing because some projects don't, you know, they get approved and then they're back 2 years later. They're slowly working towards it.
It happens all the time. And it happens sometimes where it develops at a higher density than the county had expected originally. And
right.
Now we have to adjust for
right.
that as well. So
okay.
we don't like building facilities and having to then upsize them again.
Upsize,
after
right.
we spend all the time. So we do it for ultimate future.
Thank you.
Further on this, are we ready to, somebody want to make a motion on this?
I will move to approve the
okay.
master plan update.
And all in favor?
Aye.
And we want you back in 5 years.
5 years.
Nobody else.
We want you back.
I'll take that compliment. It is a compliment. Would you like to keep the phone book?
Sure, why not?
We can totally wait for you.
Holding on to it.
We'll put it in our
thank
file
you.
Cabinet.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Public about matters related to the council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. For the council on matters within its jurisdiction.
Can I make a comment as the general public?
Sure.
I'm disappointed in the county. We spent a lot of time and effort on a property that built a garage on the zero lot line. And it was a difficult decision and it was kind of emotional. And the county went ahead and just approved it. So
well, the county did the planning commission.
The planning commission just approved it. So it calls in, I mean, to me, it questions existentially, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, I will, not one person showed up to oppose it.
And no one appealed it. And
no
I did notify the adjacent homeowners too.
Right, so if you're a planning commissioner, and
right.
the person comes to you and makes a presentation, and they're convincing, and not one person, not one neighbor was there to oppose it. I'm not saying it's right, and I agree with you, but as a planning commissioner, you're taking what's in front of you.
I watched the meeting, too, and it was literally like they didn't even consider staff and or our recommendation. It was... It
well,
was...
It then the onus is on the people that it's damaging that already had a say in this meeting.
But remember, this is just a recommendation.
Yeah,
that's just frustrating. Well, then I won't.
We give good advice, though, right?
I won't strongly consider. I don't know.
And advice is free for.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always said, if you really care about it, you need to go.
Yeah.
If it was next door to me, I guess I would have gone.
Yeah. So. Too, and I'm surprised the ones that were in true opposition didn't go.
Right.
And I did talk to him about the appeal process. I didn't think it was my place to appeal it.
Right.
I think it's all
so,
well taken.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the county website for meeting on 8:30, 23, no audio for our meetings. 9:27,
right.
No audio. Here's where I'm going. 11:29, 1:31, and 5:01. If there's a problem with that speaker, with the recording system, can we get something noted? If that's what it is.
So here's what happened.
Yeah.
Some of the older ones, I had a recorder, and I don't have it with me, and it has the recordings on it. And the thing to plug in to get the recordings out fell into the recorder. And I have not been able, so I can't get them out.
They're just on
this little thing.
Okay,
so put them in a time capsule.
Yes.
There we go.
And I bought a new recorder, and it was cheaper, and apparently it's not the right format, so I'm going to have to, so that's,
okay.
So It's me. It's.
They're not it's lost. They're just.
They're just trapped. They're just not.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's. Yeah. It, that's what it is. Yeah, the other one, I couldn't figure out why the plug wouldn't stick in there. It fell inside the little recorder. And I asked IT and they thought it was crazy. So.
No, I felt bad for Electra because I wrote on the about the 529 after you sent the agenda and the minutes, and I mentioned that, and you said you were trying to listen, you weren't at the one meeting, and you were trying to listen to the recording. You were going, you were having a tough time, so I'm figuring just to make life easier, it would
yeah,
be,
make it.
You know.
I know. That's why I'm using my computer today and not that little recorder, not the new recorder, because this way. I can send it right.
And with the fans off, you'll probably be able to hear us.
Thank you, Landon. Thank you.
Did anybody suffer from the fans being off?
No.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. The next meeting date is August 28th, and it will fall on a Wednesday this year, as it happens. And I hereby adjourn this meeting. Yeah. Quick. It means it's simple. I have an old computer. Getting a new one on that. So I'm going from Microsoft to Microsoft 11. I don't know if you've got that Microsoft Sam at any point. Is there much difference?
I don't know. I'm
Apples. Oh, you're going to open. What are you running? I'm going to be running Windows 7. So have you
ever. Does the library want that? I guess it
took
that.
It's really the main demand. So we're getting 11, but
you guys
one
take
of the things that I know that worked on the research
no,
for 11
you guys take the words and wear
yeah. So I was just.
I'm just kidding.